Day 8 of our 32 for 32 begins with the world champion Baltimore Ravens. And to be honest, guys, the 34-31 beating of San Francisco in the Super Bowl this past season doesn't look like it's going to translate over into the 2013 season. A lot of players had left the team. Ed Reed, Ray Lewis to retirement, being a few key cogs on the defense. But we'll get started into it. How you doing today, guys?
Doing pretty good. Good. Pretty excited to talk about the defending champions.
And I know Daniel's ready to knock them down off their pedestal.
The better team won. Not the team I wanted to. It doesn't bother me it's not to the point where I have to kill them. The only teams I don't like are the Cowboys and the, and I'm so on the Packers. I hate everybody in the West with the exception of the 49ers, but I'm so on the Packers because I see we're starting a little trend with them, but we'll get on them tomorrow. But yeah, I like the Ravens. They're okay. You know, that's the brother of, my coach.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
There's a positive spin.
But let's talk about the key losses to this team and what they actually brought in. I mean, considering just how much experience they lost on the defense with Lewis and Reed gone. And granted, Jeremy said just off air just a minute ago that, you know, near the end it was, you know, Lewis and Reed weren't as good as they
one their leadership,
but at the same time, yeah, I agree. Their leadership is.
You can't teach their leadership. They were the leaders of this team, but it's now Harbaugh's team. After 5 years of waiting, once Lewis leaves, he's got all his cogs set up to run his machine and not Ray Lewis's team. So.
Well, they did actually when they in the draft this past April, they actually their number one overall pick. They went and tried to replace Ed Reed with a safety out of Florida named Matt Elam, and he's a little short for a safety. He's 5'10", but he's quick and he's got some good hands. And you know, like I said yesterday, and like I'll constantly say, there's a lot of people where we live that's going to say, well, he's an SEC, so therefore he's ready for the NFL right now.
Well, and not just that, but you know, Florida for many years, you know, you being an Ohio State fan, you know about Urban Meyer now, but he built such a culture in Florida that they continue to produce pros just like many of the other teams. But yeah, that SEC thing, they're going to kind of give him credit already. But this kid here, he's just got ridiculous speed, even for a short guy, and his instincts are just another one of those things you just can't teach. You just have to be born with it, I think.
But Daniel, tell us the impact of losing their tight end and what that's going to really affect.
I want to say his number one receiver, Flacco's number one receiver was kind of Bolden. Yes, he threw to, you know, Torrey Smith too, but Bolden was kind of his, I'm using Bolden for a reason, was kind of his go-to man when it needed to.
Stat-wise, but, he was definitely number one, yes.
Yes, okay, so he's gone. Okay, so he's like, okay, we still got our tight end. Both me and you both know how important our tight ends are, Billy. Gonzalez is the dude for you. Vernon Davis is the dude for us. There is no dude for them. And his injury, they're kind of trying to compare it to Bo Jackson's injury I was reading. And let's recall that the reason Bo Jackson no longer plays football is because of that injury. So I mean, this could be pretty serious. I think it's going to they got a rookie tight end that I think that can try to step in and do something. I forget his name. I was looking at it, so I'm gonna read. One of y'all can help me while looking. Kyle Juice, Jess Vickers, whatever the USVCZYK. I don't know who he is, but they're talking about, you know, maybe him plus.
Well, they also signed Vasante Cinco.
Yeah.
So.
But you know,
the Ravens picked him up.
Oh, okay.
I was saying Peter's not really a well known, but he is known, and I think that was one of Flacco's targets, and he was really going to depend on him this year. We'll have to see how the offense is on that.
Well, we'll talk about Flacco for a second, because I mean, a lot of people really cut down, including me, really cut down the contract that Flacco got over the offseason. Me personally, I mean, granted, you guys are going to tell me it's all based on wins and everything. I'm saying it should be based on what the quarterback does. I don't see what he did to help the team out in the long run that deserved that good of a contract. Yeah, I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
Good. I don't know about that good, but how many interceptions did he throw in the playoffs?
Not many. I don't think he threw any, did he?
Yeah, he threw zero. Yeah. I mean, and how many touchdowns? He threw like what, 12, 13, 14 touchdowns?
But we're also, let's also talk about this too, guys. The contracts are for the regular season, not for the playoffs.
Okay. But I would rather my team win in the playoffs than the regular season. You want to speak about the regular season? His team, since he's came to that team, made it to the playoffs and won a playoff game every year that he's been in the league.
Yeah, that's the stat I was going to throw out, is that they are the only team in the entire league to, in the last 5 years, be in the playoffs every year.
And win a game. And win a game.
The only team. That's AFC. Yeah, that's NFC. That's AFC. Nobody's been all 5 years but the Ravens.
So are you saying that Matt Ryan didn't deserve that contract he got?
So Matt Ryan got a lesser contract than Flacco did. And
by much, though.
But no, he didn't, but not much. Okay. But at the same time, he did get a lesser contract. And in my opinion, Ryan is a better quarterback marginally than Flacco is. Now, Flacco has more playoff wins. He does. But as far as being a quarterback, I mean, you want to talk about just how great it is just because he threw so many interceptions or so many touchdowns and no interceptions in the playoffs. We're talking about, I mean, you got to look at what the quarterback does. And I really don't think that he does well enough to deserve what he did.
Well, I think he's emerging as he wasn't elite till I would say at least last year. If you're going to say that word, I hate the word, but I mean, he's evolving into what is going to be one of the better franchise quarterbacks possibly of this era, but at least for that team.
He's got a ring and he wins. He wins.
And that's what it comes down to is how many championships, whether it be NFC or AFC, and how many rings did he get you? And he's put up, I mean, good numbers in the past 5 years, from 12 back to 8, you got 10-6, 12-4, 12-4, 9-7, 11-5. Those are all winning records.
Yeah, and he's not in a pushover league, not a league where there's, I mean, the Pittsburgh has always been a contending team. Steelers were always, the Bengals have been contending teams. He's not in a weak division. He's in a division where he's got to prove himself.
Oh yeah, he's got Big Ben twice a year. I mean, yes. That's hard enough to contend with.
Well, let's talk about that schedule real quick. And you know, the Ravens, I think, are going to take a little – I mean, I don't think they can really take a step back. I think they're going to go about even with what they did last year of 10-6. What really is going to define their schedule is to go through a few games before Week 7 or before Week 8, which is their bye. They have to go to Pittsburgh, which is a big thing right before the bye week. Their Packers are coming into town in Week 6.
They got Texans coming in week
3. Texans are coming in week 3, and they have to go to Denver in week 1.
Yeah,
so those four games right there are immediately going to tell me what this Ravens team is going to be all about. Because regardless, I mean, of Packers are going to be good this year, I think. The Steelers are going to bounce back a little bit better than they were last year. Texans are going to reload.
I wasn't able to speak on Pittsburgh. Or maybe I was. I missed a couple games. I don't know. But me personally, I don't see how Pittsburgh improved in any way. I don't see how they improved in any way.
Exactly.
I don't know if any moves.
Colin Cowherd, not to give a shout out to anybody, but we all listen to him pretty regularly. And he said last year that Pittsburgh is one of those teams that the way their team is aging, they need to win now. And that window's closing very shortly. So I think they've almost went on the other side to where the window's almost closed. If they don't start putting a lot of wins on the board this year, it's time to reload next year.
As I'm saying, I see the Steelers being towards the bottom with the Browns of this division.
It's possible.
Yeah, because they wasn't that good last year, and I don't think they improved none over the offseason.
No, if they didn't have Big Ben, I don't know if they'd hit 500 some years.
Exactly, but yeah.
All right, well, Jeremy, why don't you start with the prediction of this year's Ravens team?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you said that you know they're looking at probably a 10 to 11 win season. I'd put them somewhere 10-6, 11-5. They're going to win the division, and at the current moment, just between all the research, this is not my in stone prediction, but right now, it's kind of I think. to me, they've got to be the perennial favorite to be in the Super Bowl again. I don't know who they're going to face, but at the same time, it's always been my mentality. Whoever the defending champion is the season before, it has to be the favorite up until proven otherwise. And that could be after week one, but as of right now, they're still the best team.
I kind of agree with you on the 10 and 6, maybe 11 and 5 record. I disagree highly on a Super Bowl favorite.
I think on the AFC right now that they've got, I mean, because Denver's had all these injuries here lately that, you know, besides the tight end question, the Ravens are pretty solid.
Yeah, but like, I'm looking at Denver as being the favorite. I'm looking at the Patriots possibly being there. I mean, I think of those two that could really challenge them for that.
I think the Colts. Plus,
let's not look at the Colts too. The Colts, I think, will have a pretty good year this year.
I agree, because that's another year that'll be under Andrew Luck, and they didn't really go out and hop and get nobody. But at the same time, they really didn't need to. They have their young crew that really performed last year.
And actually, not only that, Jeremy, but Week 16, you got to circle that date, Sunday night on NBC, Patriots versus the Ravens in Baltimore. But Daniel, what's your prediction, bud?
Yeah, 10-6 or 11-5. They have 4 primetime games, though, by the way, and they're back-to-back weeks against the Lions and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Those are 2 primetime games.
But yeah, I'm gonna go 9-7, 10-6. I really think, like I said, the start of their schedule right before their bye week, when they have those 4 games, the Steelers, the Packers, the Broncos, and the Texans are really gonna show me what kind of team this is. And then when they get back, I mean, they have the NFC North, the outside division that they have to face this year, and I mean, the Bears, I think, are going to have a decent year. They're not going to have as good of a year as they should have a better year than they did last year. The Lions, you know, look what Matthew Stafford can do, but I really think that 9-7, 10-6 will be what we're looking at. Tomorrow, guys, we're going to change it up a little bit just simply because Daniel is, being a little bit of a wuss and actually got to go back to work.
Go back to work, right?
We're gonna hit the NFC West tomorrow, and starting with the team that the Ravens faced in the Super Bowl in San Francisco 49ers, which happens to be his team. But for Jeremy and Daniel, I'm Billy Guys, and this has been Sports Club.
I'm waving. You can't see me.